Gemini. And yeah, we can be pretty two-faced. I'm an Aquarius. Don't take my kindness for weakness. As a Scorpio, I keep my circle small. And if you're in it, I've got your back for life.
I'm a Taurus, and we don't take shit from anyone.
I'm a Libra, and I drink water.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, February 6th, 2024. I'm Jay E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, Natasha Hotboy, Trey Kirby.
Heyo!
Heyo! And over yonder, the man making the magic happen, super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Hit that like button. Make sure you subscribe. Comment away. Podcast listeners, do us a favor. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. 5-star Friday, maybe on the drop this week?
Absolutely.
Lock it in?
Let's lock it in.
All right, get your reviews in. You got a little bit of time to get in your 5-star ratings and reviews, and maybe you make TK's 5-star Friday. We got lots to discuss here. We got some new slop. We got some All-Star Weekend participants. We'll get into last night's games, but we start with wedgie number 30, and it was a beauty because we had Eagle and Cusack on the call.
O'Neal, shot clock is down to 3. O'Neal. Oh, a 3-point wedgie! You rarely get the downtown wedgie.
Thank you. Shout out to formerly the starters, No Dunks crew, and to Ian Eagle himself, the bird who loves wedgies.
The bird loves wedgies. He's incredible. We love Eagle and Sarah giving us the shout out there as they threw to commercial break. So yeah, up to 30 wedgies on the air, and the pace ticked up a little bit.
I'll toss another little bit of kudos to whoever was operating the baseline camera, because you don't often see the behind the backboard shot of the wedgie where you could see that ball flattened out against the glass. Steph Curry apparently said, "We need a new basketball. That one's dented."
It's dented.
And you can tell why.
Yes, great angle. The handheld cam just doing his work. I will say, Ian Eagle did say, "Wow, Royce O'Neal must be proud of that." Sarah Kustak said, "I don't know. Why? Yeah. Why should he be proud of that?" Great call by Kustak there. Thank you so much for the shout out. That's the first wedgie of Royce O'Neal's career, just going back 10 years.
Wow.
I looked it up. Maybe Shaq's other sons have a few, but that's not his son. But anyway, great stuff. 30, 52.
I would love to get us to like a couple more before the All-Star break this week, into the weekend. You know, like if we got it like to 30, you know, maybe I'm getting a little, you know, asking for a little much, but 33 to 35 at the All-Star break? Ooh, that'd be nice. So hopefully we have a couple more coming here. But let's get into last night's actual games, and we're going to do that by playing a little What You Got.
What you got?
What you got there?
What you got
there? Well, I got some questions for you guys. Pitting two things against each other, you guys can debate which one you're going to go with. We'll start with Donovan Mitchell scoring 29 points. Max Strus added 22 as the Cavs beat the Kings 136-110 last night for their sixth straight win and 14th in their last 15 games. They're hot. Meanwhile, here in Atlanta, down at the Fortress, Kawhi Leonard scored 36 points, taking over there in the fourth. Clippers finished off a long road trip in style. 149-144 win over the Hawks. Clippers went 6-1. On basically their two-week-long road trip here because of the Grammys, and they improved to 26-5 since November 30th. The what you got question. Hottest team in the league. Who's hotter, Tass Mellis? Is it the Cavs or the Clips? What you got?
I'm giving it to the Clips. That's a tough road trip going Miami and Atlanta back-to-back. Those are two cities you could have a good time in. But this is also a back-to-back. Kawhi, Paul George playing till the last second of this game. The question before the season, are these guys going to play back-to-backs? To go all the way to the end there and for Kawhi to step up in that fourth quarter, he looks like an evolved player from when he was in finals MVP in 2019. That sidestep three, he didn't have that in the bag. But now he gathers and is able to create room like a lot of NBA players do, but he didn't do that. He was always just a straight-on three fireballer. Now he's added that 145 left in this game to be able to do that, and that was a key three, obviously, 13 yep. In this fourth quarter. It It was a lot of points that they put up against this Atlanta Hawks team. But the Hawks did keep fighting. Trae Young and Jalen Johnson couldn't communicate there on one switch that they should have had. That hurt. But the fact is, I'm just so interested to see the Clippers against like a big team. The Hawks aren't all that huge. I can't wait to see them in the playoffs. But the fact is, they're doing it against every single team, against the Nuggets that might line up. Just the top four teams. Top four teams in the West are within half a game of each other.
Yeah.
That's freaking bonkers. So I can't wait. Can't wait for this offseason. Cavs are also good.
Yeah.
14-15.
That's why it's a tough question, yeah. But you're going with the Clips. What about you, Trey?
Well, I'll show some love to the Cavs because since January 1st, they do have the best record in the league. Clippers second best. Cavs, though, have won their games in 2024 by 15 points per game. That's pretty impressive margin of victory. Couple of things I've been tracking with the Cavs since Mobley and Garland come back. Number one, how many three-point attempts they get up? 41 last night playing against the Kings. Great stuff. They're 14-5 when they shoot more than 40. Just makes more sense. That's how you play in 2024. Also, the minutes distribution between Allen and Mobley, Mitchell and Garland. Allen and Mobley played 6 minutes together to start both halves and then stagger mode every other time. Mitchell and Garland, 6 minutes together to start each half, then stagger mode, but they got an extra little taste in the fourth quarter, played another 3 minutes together. Right now, Mitchell and Allen is really still the lineup for them alongside three shooters, and Okoro's actually been shooting the ball really well and playing his defense out there. But I thought they looked pretty solid when they had all four of them out there and then when they had both stagger groups set up. But the key is getting up the three-point attempts because it keeps the space there for Donovan Mitchell. And this guy has just been incredible since they have hit on this shooting-based lineup. That was the entire point of every move they made over the offseason, was to get more spacing on the court. They've got a lot of options now, heading down the stretch run here, going to be going into the playoffs. We'll see how it turns out. But last year, they had four guys, and we're just hoping anybody could take the fifth spot. Right now, they've got four guys and like four options at the fifth spot. So I'm impressed with the Cavaliers. But yes, the Clippers are better.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, so the Cavs have moved up into second spot in the Eastern Conference, 32-16. You said the Clippers, half game back from the number one spot, trailing Thunder and Minnesota there. If we were doing your tier rankings, which we're actually due for, maybe we'll do it sort of maybe right after the All-Star break or something like that, where we look at all 30 teams and we put them, are they an S-tier team? You know, that's a championship contender, or are they just below that or wherever? Are you putting, Tass, both of these squads, if we were to do this tomorrow or again next week, would you be putting the Clippers and the Cavs into the S-tier legit title contenders along with a couple other teams? Like I assume the Nuggets and maybe the Celtics, or are they still not quite there in your opinion?
It's a fun question. I would put the Clippers in there immediately. Okay. I think they have to be. It's a lot to overcome in the Western Conference because everybody's damn good, but we just haven't seen this Kawhi and Paul George combo in Los Angeles go into the playoffs for several years, and feels like we're going to get that. Cavs on the other side, I would put them below the Boston Celtics. Trey brings up great points about the way they're balancing it out. I think it was a little blessing in disguise that Evan Mobley went out and Darius Garland went out and they could figure out, oh yeah, we got to shoot the three ball and we got to figure out how to stagger everything. I still want to be convinced in the postseason. I mean, it's just totally biased. But we haven't seen it in the postseason. I think it was a blessing in disguise for JB Bickerstaff. Let's get Evan Mobley back there playing the five at times. It's going to help. He blocked the snot out of De'Aaron Fox yesterday. Let's keep shooting the threes. When they shoot 43s, and they shot 56% from three, this team it's difficult. And Mitchell was really, really good in Utah as being the number one guy. And how they're figuring that out. So, yeah, maybe I'm wrong in putting them below Boston, but it feels like Boston's a little steer. S-tier above them for some reason.
So you have Clips, S-tier, sounds like Cavs in the tier below, the A-tier.
Yeah, I guess.
You agree with that right now, TK?
Yeah, that's exactly right, assuming Kawhi is healthy come playoff time, because I saw Woj tweeted, in the past 30 Clippers games, Kawhi is averaging 26 points per game on 57 field goal shooting, 51 from three, and 92 at the free throw line. First player to ever average 25 or more on 55, 50, 90 splits over 30 games. This guy is better than he was when he was on the Raptors. He is like San Antonio Kawhi. I heard Zach Lowe on his podcast was saying he should start getting some MVP buzz, and that's absolutely right, because he looks like he might be the best player on the court. And that small lineup they went to in the fourth quarter against the Hawks completely blitzed Atlanta. It was Harden, Westbrook, and Amir Coffey played all 12 minutes. Then PG and Kawhi joined for basically the last 8 minutes. And it was just Kawhi and James Harden taking turns making huge plays in the last 2 minutes of this game. If Kawhi is looking this good, when it gets to playoff time, they might have the best player in the league, outside of Jokic, and even then it might be questionable, depending on how much they can stretch out a team like the Clippers. So yeah, I think the Clips are there, and then the Cavs, we'll see. The way they ended in the playoffs last year was so disappointing. They won 51 games and then almost got swept and looked like they were completely overwhelmed. Jared Allen even said the lights were brighter than expected. So we're going to have to see both Mobley and Allen play well in the playoffs. And the thing with Mitchell is he definitely elevates his game, I think, in the playoffs, but sometimes he gets into tunnel vision mode and it's just about, I'm trying to bring us back. It's got to be a team-based thing, and they got to get those three-pointers up. We'll see if they can do it when it really matters.
Yeah, and he was able to do that as a member of the Utah Jazz, and then things just kind of went a different way to start with, at the end, actually, of the Jazz run, and the beginning of this Cleveland run. But Kawhi is definitely in the MVP talk. He absolutely should be, and whether or not he's in the playoffs, I guess, that's the question. But he was healthy for two games last year to start the playoffs, 38 and 31. In those first two games, he looked like the best player. And then he unfortunately got injured, and the Phoenix Suns were able to take them no problem because of that. But, yeah, he has to be in the MVP talk. Absolutely has to.
You got me wondering, when do the Clippers play the Nuggets next? Because you want to see that matchup.
Yeah.
It's not till April. It's like the first week of April, exactly. They could be jockeying, I guess, in theory for, the number one seed or something like that. But it's also possible that maybe some of their big names don't play. So maybe it will come in the postseason.
Yeah, just a thought about the standings and all that and being able to overtake the teams that they're tied with. They're tied with the Nuggets and only a half game back of OKC in Minnesota. The fact that they started so poorly helps them out big time. Just the fact that they were bad to start this year. They're 7-9, and they've just gone on this incredible run. So the first place seed is theirs for the taking. It feels like it. Just the way they've been. They added James Harden. And they just look like a totally different team. So they're good.
Well, obviously, they've been the best team in the league, getting James Harden and then giving it a week to figure it out. Since then, they have been the best record for sure. My final question, I guess, or at least comment I want to throw at you guys and get your opinion on. I saw Spike Eskin of the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast tweet either this morning or last night, the only NBA contender without a suspiciously high fraud rating is Denver. They should far and away be the favorite. Tons of fraud potential for the Wolves, the Clippers, the Celtics, the Bucks, the Suns, and then the Thunder, which he notes that's a youth-related fraudulence.
You got to throw the Timberwolves in the mix as well.
I said the Wolves.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, first team. Yeah. So do you agree that the higher fraud rating for these other teams than Denver?
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
I don't think that's really much of a question. They went through the playoffs last year and dominated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're not talked about as much because OKC and Minnesota are just so damn good in the Western Conference this year. But yeah, they are. Still, not sexy enough to talk about. Win a championship, but people aren't talking about them as much because they haven't been first. And everybody wants to talk about this fun Shea run and the Timberwolves.
Sure.
Well, the most interesting thing with the Nuggets is like, will their young guys be able to hold up in the playoffs? It's just not as exciting to talk about as, figuring out the Dame Giannis pick and roll. And if Cleveland is able to figure out how their stars all play together, if you're trying to break down Peyton Watson and Christian Brown, it's just not nearly as sexy right now. Those are their questions. Those are good questions to be having.
True. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on here. Anthony Davis, 26 points, 15 boards, 11 assists. His third career triple-double as the Lakers held on to defeat the Hornets, 124-118. Lakers' third straight win. And then a little later in the night, Brandon Ingram highlighted a season-high 41-point outburst with a career-high 8 three-pointers. He hit 5 straight near the end of the third quarter. I'm talking 5 straight possessions where he banged home a 3 as the Pelicans crushed the Raptors, 138-100. So, stronger performance. Tass, you can get us started here again. From last night, AD's triple-double or Ingram going for 41 with the 8 three-pointers there?
Sorry, Anthony Davis. You were really good against the Charlotte Hornets, who he just feels like he was more giant than everybody he went up against. I go Brandon Ingram's 41. He hit 5 straight threes, which was...
That was awesome. Sick, I'm a Raptors fan, and I was going crazy. I'm like, give him the ball! Give him the ball! This guy's cooking!
Yeah. In the third quarter, that's exactly what they're doing, just giving it to him over and over again. And it is about the three-point shooting for me, because this Pelicans team needs three-point shooting. They need Brandon Ingram to be a guy who took 11 threes in this game. 8 of 11 is a ridiculous percentage.
That's crazy.
They need somebody to help give space for Zion Williamson. And he just needs to be this guy. Because sometimes he'll go from 11 to to the next game. That's just what Brandon Ingram does. But he just had a very, very promising game. He did it on purpose. He was taking three-point shots because he was trying to provide this offense that they were going through at the beginning. They're going through Zion in the post, who becomes this fulcrum of passing everywhere from there. It's just hard to beat these guys. But Ingram was awesome. 9 assists, 0 turnovers because he was that good. So I think it was a little more impressive than Anthony Davis.
What do you got here, AD or BI?
I mean, the 5 threes. The 5 threes in a row. Come on, man. Like that's incredible to see. I don't think that's ever happened since 97, 98 when play-by-play did.
Interesting.
5 straight threes.
I mean, that's that's shocking. Yeah.
I mean, he made the first two, and Antonio Daniels was like, he's got to take this next shot. And then he made 3 more.
Yeah.
That was so cool to see. But unfortunately, a complete no-show for Brandon Ingram in the fourth quarter. So I'm going with Anthony Davis here. He was awesome, I thought, in this game. He dominated. He was finding Christian Wood underneath with some slick passes. And then in the fourth quarter, 10 points on 4 of 4 shooting, 3 rebounds, and a block. I thought he made every big play down the stretch that LeBron didn't make. So it absolutely is Brandon Ingram for me. But Anthony Davis, once again, showed up in big-time moments for a win here for the Lakers. They have been scrapping together some wins on this Grammy trip here. And also a quick shout-out for probably our third strongest performance of this in this matchup. Back-to-back 30-point games for Brandon Miller. He was really good in this one as well. He hit 28 in his game prior to that one. 3 straight games with 5 or more threes. Love when he got the steal and the dunk in the fourth quarter. Seemed like the tide was turning for the Hornets. And Eric Collins just yelled out, "Ecstasy!" That was awesome.
He's been incredible right now. It's fun.
They should be feeling ecstasy after that draft. They picked him over Scoot. And people were wondering, what the heck are we doing? But not only that dunk, but then almost the fade into the baseline, the real Julius Randle, Kevin Durant type shot that he made. The guy just looks like a star recently. And they did this without LaMelo Ball, so that's why the Anthony Davis was like, meh. But Brandon Miller was awesome.
Yeah, back to B.I., just a weird stat. Apparently he was the first player in NBA history to score at least 40 points, make at least 8 threes, shoot 75%, and have 0 turnovers in a game. In history, just an odd little fact there when you look at all those numbers, but really efficient, taking care of the ball, and he was on fire. And it was not a surprise the Raptors were going to lose this game coming into it. Double overtime game, the night before, they lose that, and then to go in and play a very good Pelicans team, it was bad right from the start, honestly, in this one. It was over in a hurry, this game.
Yeah.
But special moment there from B.I., but 80, big game, and Lakers... Yeah, right here at the deadline, D'Angelo Russell playing the best ball of his season right now, and some of these other guys, but, they're still asking LeBron, and he's deflecting. He's not, hey, I'm not answering that. I don't care. I got this team, I guess, right now. Well, what about the emoji, man? I'm not talking about the emojis. Classic LeBron.
It was good for the Lakers that they shot very poorly from three. As soon as you mentioned D'Angelo Russell, I thought of, that guy was great from three. He was the only guy who was great from three. They shot 23% from three.
Yeah.
That's very bad. And the Charlotte Hornets hit 5 more threes than them, and they're still able to do it. Speaking of threes, that's what they're looking for right here, right now. Somebody who can shoot them other than D'Angelo Russell. Somebody on the trade market. That's what they're looking for, that's for sure.
Final one here. Kyrie Irving returned from a 6-game absence because of a sprained thumb, led Dallas to a much-needed win over Philly. Kyrie had 23 points, 8 assists, sat out most of the fourth quarter. And then in Brooklyn, Klay Thompson, he was left out of the closing lineup for the second time in 3 games here, in a Warriors win over the Nets. And the future Hall of Famer admitted, after the game, it has been very hard dealing with watching from the sidelines. He was pretty pretty sincere, I guess, or real, raw, whatever you want to call it, in talking about, I'm getting benched here for some of these younger guys. But, look, I'm forcing this one, I'll be honest, when it came to what you got. But more surprising from last night, Kyrie's return and how he looked in a win for Dallas, or Klay Thompson getting benched here for the second time out of 3 games. What you got, TK?
More surprising, I think, has got to be Klay Thompson because he was benched for Gui Santos.
Yeah.
Understandable if it's Brandon Pajemski. Understandable if it's Moses Moody, guys that have been high draft picks and in the rotation for the Warriors. But Santos was bringing the size, the scraptivity, and Steve Kerr decided to roll with them, like you said, second time in a couple or in 3 games that Klay Thompson has sat down the stretch. The last time it was for pods. But at this point, Klay just kind of shouldn't be guaranteed closing minutes right now. And earlier in the season, that's when Jonathan Kuminga spoke up, was like, "I was rolling. You took me out. I need to play more. I could help." Steve Kerr was not ready at that time to turn things over to the young guys. He was still rolling with the veterans, but it seems like he's riding the hot hand a little bit more now, and what Santos was giving them was more than what Klay Thompson was getting them, and like you said, he's obviously taking it hard. He says it's really hard for anybody to go from being one of the best players to just being one of the guys out there. It's weird to watch, like in real time, a guy coming to terms with his slight decline. Like last year, it was angry Klay. He was just throwing four rings in everybody's face. And then over the summer, he said, I was just in my feelings all last season. He's clearly still in his feelings right now. It seems to be affecting his play on the court. But this is a team that's been together for a long time. And Draymond was happy to hop into his interview last night with Anthony Slater and said, I got benched in the finals.
Yeah,
we do that around here.
Yeah.
Kevon Looney has gone to the bench a million times. That's just how it happens, and it finally happened to Klay Thompson.
Draymond was funny because he wasn't asked about being benched. He was asked about, you had a poor shooting night. And then Draymond said, oh, yeah, you're getting set in the fourth quarter. That happened to me, too. Yeah, it happened to me game five of the NBA Finals. And Anthony Slater said, I didn't ask him about that, but thanks. And then he started asking about that because he does want to know. I think Klay, third game in four nights, and you got guys who are frankly playing better.
Yeah.
And Gui Santos, Lester Quiñones has been very, very good for them. Moses Moody's back. They've got guys who are going after the boards. They had eight guys with five or more rebounds. That's pretty freaking good for a team that's small because they do want to start Draymond Green. They want to put Looney to the bench. So Draymond is their starting five. Klay did play 30 minutes in this game, and he sat at the end because, other guys were playing harder, and he only had 8 points in those 30 minutes. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough for Klay, but he did praise Gui Santos a lot and said, that guy going from the G League, coming to where he is now. And frankly, he said, this hurts. This hurts. It sucks. But he did support the team. And frankly, it's all right. It's all right. It's good. It's a good thing for them to have guys who try a lot.
Hey, Klay's had a bad year. I mean, we don't need to gloss over that. He's averaging 17 points per game. That's his lowest since his second NBA season, and he's shooting 41 from the field and 37 from deep. 37% for Klay Thompson, that's bad, obviously, for one of the greatest shooters of all time. And then meanwhile, all these younger players, Pajemski, Kuminga, Moody, Santos, they are now, they're taking some steps forward. So Kerr probably took too long to obviously inject them into this lineup and try and find the balance. But man, it is wild. When you hear Klay talk about it, again, really sincere, it's damn, you feel bad for him, but then you're also this is what happens to all of our NBA greats, except the weirdos like LeBron and Steph Curry and these guys that are still starting all-stars and still some of the most dominant players in the league. They're the anomaly. This is normal. And especially a guy that's had a couple serious injuries in his career, too. The fact that he's even playing is amazing when you think back to some of the season-ending surgeries and stuff like that. But a good win, nonetheless. And, he did talk up the guys, too. It's cool that he's I don't want this. I'm a Hall of Famer. I want to be hitting these shots. I want to be helping. But these guys are playing well, and I'm cheering them on.
Yeah, you bring up a good point about Steph and what he's doing because I think people are missing. he has now 8 50-point games after turning 30, which is more than Wilt, more than anybody.
Right.
He's got the most after turning 30. That's freaking hard to do. And, Klay's, it feels like he's sort of old, but he's younger than Steph. He's going to be 34 soon. But he has some cold nights. That's it. That's what it comes down to. But
Some cold nights. And Klay used to be, I think, one of the most underrated actual perimeter defenders in the league for a couple of years. And he's not a stopper on that end anymore. So when it's really glaring those nights where the three isn't falling, the shot's not falling, it's he might be at those nights. He is a negative player, unfortunately. Whereas I think in years past, if he had a cold night, he's not killing you on the other end.
Right.
You still have him out there, but.
Yeah,
they need the athleticism of a guy Pajemski, Kuminga, who's been playing more, and then Gui Santos was just kind of all over the place last night, running into his own team at times on offense because it was whoa, what am I doing out here with the closing lineup? But he was also on the boards and that kind of stuff. So yeah, you're exactly right. If Klay's not hitting, it's probably got to be sitting.
Yeah,
bars.
You can ask Kerr about it. He will sit him when he's not shooting well, but. As Klay was asked afterwards by Tim Bontemps, he was asked, your shot later in the season came to you. Does that help? And he said, God, yeah, it does help. so he was confident, and then it will come. Like last year, when they lost in the second round to the Lakers, he had some good shooting nights. He had 8 of 11 from 3. That's freaking awesome. Yeah. 6 of 16 from 3. And then obviously some cold ones. So, yeah, you can drop those bars. There will be some good nights. There will be some bad nights. And Kerr's going to roll with it.
And Kerr's figured out, in order for us to even have a chance of a Klay Thompson hitting 8 threes in a playoff game, we have to make the freaking playoffs. We have to win games and get in. So we got to get the youth movement going here, and they're helping us close these games. At least they were last night as they got another one.
Was Jonathan Kuminga the greatest ever talking to the press moment? He said, you need to play me more, and then he gets started, and now he averages like 25 a game?
Maybe. Yeah. Had the haircut in there as well. And yeah, he's
that was awesome.
Incredible for them right now. Yeah, you're right. I mean, because on one hand, we're like, oh, God. Uh-oh. That might be the death knell. He might be traded out of here. And the opposite happened. I was like, yeah, you might be right. All right, we'll play him. All right, we got to take a break. That's a little what you got. When we come back, though, we got a bunch of All-Star Weekend news. And we'll get into the slop scale. Don't go anywhere.
I gotta get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute, but man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/nodunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/nodunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
All right, back with the boys. We got some All-Star Weekend news for you. Yesterday, the NBA unveiled a state-of-the-art full video LED court that will be used for all-star events taking place in Indy. Now, the innovative court will display all sorts of visuals. We got live replays, real-time stats, player tracking graphics, and animations that are going to, you know, sort of punctuate, I guess, key moments during All-Star Saturday night and Friday's All-Star Celebrity Game at the Lucas Oil Stadium. So this will not be in, you know, the actual Sunday All-Star game, because that's over in the Pacers Gainbridge Fieldhouse.
But, back to basketball.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Only hardwood in the Fieldhouse. But can I get your takes on this ASB glass floor that we're seeing here? That's who developed this bad boy. And we saw this back in, it was like the under-19 Women's Basketball World Cup in like Spain. Remember we saw this making around and I was like, what is this floor? Mm-hmm. And we were like, ooh, when will the NBA try this? We thought maybe the in-season tournament, but they're going to pull it out here for some of these events over All-Star Weekend. What do you think?
Right. As a whole floor. We've also talked about when a guy gets hot from the floor.
Oh, yeah.
Just light a flame under his feet.
Cool.
That would be cool. There's nothing super cool about this. I think it's fine.
It's a TV. It's a giant TV.
It makes me hungry seeing the Ruffles 4-point line that they have in the celebrity game. Yum, yum, yum.
Oh, it's already working on you.
Yeah, it is.
I tweeted that. This is a brand manager's wet dream, the ads they can throw on this thing. Everything. Yeah. That shot brought to you by
BetterHelp.
Thank you.
Promo code No Dunks.
I mean, they always had a Ruffles spot. They always have advertising spots.
Yeah, I know.
But this is a line, big line. It's tasty. No, I don't care.
Line,
it's fine. It's fine. It's
man,
all fine. It's all
crazy,
fine.
Man.
It is crazy.
I mean, it looks cool.
I like the walking. I wonder how much they can like real time track it. Do you got to have like sensors in your shoes?
I will tell you, Trey Kirby. Now we're going to be doing a live show, so bad timing for us. But during the celebrity game on Friday night, some of the players are going to wear a tracking device that will allow them to interact with the court. So these players can be highlighted the same way user-controlled players are highlighted in, like, NBA 2K. So you could have a flame trail underneath some of these players. Mm. Could be a star, a circle, their name, their number, whatever. I mean, the honestly, the possibilities are endless with this. But yeah, you're right. No, it's like they're going to be wearing something that will then move with the floor, and that could look pretty cool.
I want to see every possible option they can do.
Okay.
I want to see the full capabilities of this thing, and I want to see if somebody jumps on it hard enough, does it crack? It's made of glass.
Yeah, yeah, apparently
there's
not.
Some big boys out there. I'm thinking somebody throw Mac McClung does a 720. All of the fans on the side, you know, all the 300-pounders jumping up and down. Does that crack the floor?
Great question.
I want to know.
I mean, the big concern, I guess this has been in the works with the NBA for like 7 or 8 years, development, like the idea of doing this. But it's always one of the hangups has been, well, does it feel like a real hardwood floor when you bounce the ball, when your sneakers are on the floor, obviously for injury concerns and all that. And they feel like the technology is like, apparently you can barely even tell. That's what they say now. But heaven forbid somebody gets injured on this damn thing, either in one of these games or one of these events on Saturday night. I doubt it happens. I don't think the NBA would be rolling this out otherwise. But.
Well, there's a reason the only game that they're putting it under is the celebrity game. It's to try it out. It feels real G League or minor league tryout. They're not doing it to the All-Stars on Sunday.
No.
They're not even doing it to the Rising Stars game on Friday. It's just for the celebrity game. And then the events on Saturday, which aren't as many big guys jumping around that could potentially break it. That's a great question. That's why it's they're testing.
One cool thing about this, I read a long article. James Herbert did a great job on CBS Sports about this court. Remember when Sabrina Ionescu said, I'll shoot from the three-point line where Steph shoots, the NBA line? Like she said that after we had this contest going on. And in my head at the time when she said that, I'm like, well, we better decide because, like, where are they putting the lines and all that? The guy that created this, like, when I heard her say that, I was like, cool, we can put that line wherever you want. And I was like, wow, okay, that's pretty neat. So it's like she can decide right then and there. They might even do a thing to show off the floor, right? Like, you know, which one? Yeah, pops up. Yeah, exactly, exactly. So
interesting.
They could, I mean, you can get so creative with this, and it does look pretty cool in those demo shots. I wonder how it'll look, you know, on our broadcasts and I guess in attendance when we're there, if we're there on Saturday night. So I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it too. End of sententI thought I had something else to say.
I thought you did too.
Forget what it was.
Well, it's interesting.
What it was.
I'm excited to see it too. End of sentence.
Let me give you 30 seconds.
Oh, you got
seconds,
a comma?
Yeah. 30 seconds to think about it because I just want to know. So the Herbert write-up, did it say Ionescu will be shooting on one side of the floor and Steph will be shooting on one side of the floor?
It didn't. They're not going to shoot at the same time. I know you keep thinking they're going to do that. They're not going to do that.
Well, what are they going to do? They're going to bring in the line? Because Sabrina was going to shoot from the WNBA line, which is only – the corners are exactly the same as WNBA. It ain't that much further. They're exactly the same, but it moves to a foot and a half further right at the top.
Yeah, the lines on that floor because of this LED screen will just change. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's what's going to happen. And I think they're going to have some fun with it, like, because they've talked about this, like, where are you shooting from? And they'll put it up there, and then it'll go, you want to go here?
Well, I didn't know that this was happening. How the heck was this glass floor? That's the weirdest part to me is the glass floor, because we've seen it in any sort of pregame thing that happens where they throw the lights on the floor, and it can look awesome. It has down here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
But that ain't a glass floor.
Yeah, this is coming.
From the bottom.
The bottom.
What happened?
You got your thought?
Too bad they didn't have this during the Rock and Jock days.
Hey, you're absolutely right. Worth the wait for
Bill
that.
Bill Bellamy would have loved this.
Oh, good name.
Oh, man, though. Like, they should go. I mean, who knows? It's the first year, so I'm sure they're trying things out. But yeah, for a game like the All-Star Celebrity Game, you can literally be like, okay, that's where 10 points now over there. Like, you can do all that
stuff. At some point in the second half, a 25-point shot will appear.
Right. Just go nuts with it. Excited. Also to see, like, the stats and stuff. Like, I did read, like, you were asking about the three-point contest. From what I can tell, some guy's shooting, right? And then on the other side of the floor, it's, like, showing you probably, you know how they show on the broadcast, like, how many money balls and how many shots? Like, it should be doing that in real time.
True.
Sure.
Which is sort of cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
How many points they have, how many they hit in each rack. Yeah.
Yeah. Excited for the floor here in No Dunks Land. Okay. We got some contestants, or at least rumored contestants. Now, Shams coming through with most of these names. The Woj added one recently. We have, apparently in the three-point contest this year, we've got, well, I'll just... look at the graphic here and go left to right. We've got Donovan Mitchell, Jalen Brunson, Malik Beasley, Damian Lillard, Tyrese Halliburton, and Lauri Markkanen. Six of what I assume will be eight names in the three-point contest. That's what we usually do in this thing. What do you think of the field so far here, TK? And obviously, who would you like to see round out the field? Two questions.
I think it looks beautiful.
Okay.
We got some great shooters there. Got some legitimate star power. I like that we got an Indiana Pacer in the mix. Tyrese Halliburton. Could have been Buddy Hield, I suppose. Also yeah. A Pacer. Maybe he fills out the field. But yeah, this looks pretty good. I mean, Halliburton's starting. Lillard is starting. Brunson is there. Mitchell is there. They both could have been starting. So pretty solid gets, yeah. I do believe. As for filling out the other two spots, I was looking mostly at the Western Conference just because we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 from the East right now. So maybe they want to spread the wealth a little bit there. Grayson Allen has to be in this. 49% leading the league in three-point shooting. He takes a ton of them, so seems like an easy add to me. And then the other guy was a little harder to find from the Western Conference, and I went with Tim Hardaway Jr.
Oh, okay.
He's fifth in makes, which is pretty high. He shoots a lot of threes, yeah. So I could see him being a guy who gets in.
Okay. What do you think?
Yeah, it looks great. $2. A little surprised by that with Lillard and Beasley, although Beasley's shooting freaking great.
Yeah. People were most shocked online about Beasley, you know. Maybe the casuals, maybe not. Because you see the other star names, like some all-stars and stuff like that, and everyone's like, Malik Beasley? What? You're right, though. He's a good three-point shooter and shoots a ton of them. Has for a couple years now.
Yeah, and Dame gets to be there matter what.
Defending champ.
Must defend.
You got to defend. Yeah.
Even though he hasn't had an incredible season, he's a freaking Hall of Famer. He gets to be there no matter what. That's that. There's some good ones out there, though. There's some... People will be mad about some that don't make it because there's some great three-point shooters out there that will not be there.
Lillard is looking to become the first player to win back-to-back three-point contest titles since Capone back in 06, 07, and 07, 08. It's been a while since we've had a back-to-back winner. So here's who I think should round out the field. I'm with you, Trey. I think when you're leading the league in three-point percentage and you shoot enough of them, you should be in this thing. So Grayson Allen, get his funny face in here. Let him shoot away. And then, I did struggle a little bit with the second name, too, because there's a lot of guys you could pick from. You know, like, you see people like, where's Isaiah Joe? And stuff like that. Like, guys that are good shooters.
Where did he go?
But, exactly. Where did he come from and where did he go? Karl Anthony Towns never got a chance to defend his title 2 years ago because he wasn't in it last year. I believe because of injury. So I think he should get a chance to defend the title from, you know, 2 years prior. So I'd put the big man back in it. I'd put Cat in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is in Indiana. I would like to see Aaron Nesmith in there.
Okay, he's very high.
The guy is a monster shooting the three and has become a really, really, really good player overall. Does that matter when it comes to three-point contest? Absolutely not. But he's shooting 46% from three.
Random note. Luka's never competed in the three-point contest. I found that a little weird because Luka is one of eight guys to have hit over 900 three-pointers in the last five seasons, obviously combined. Buddy Hield, Curry, Dame, Tatum, Mitchell, Duncan Robinson, and Fred VanVleet are the other guys. They've all been in the contest at least once, some of them multiple times. I just thought it was funny that Luka's never been in it. You would think the league asked him every year, wouldn't they? Hey, Luka, you want to go in this?
I don't shoot from the corners.
Like, I think he's second in the league in total made threes. So, yeah, get Luka in there.
Yeah,
it's sort of weird that he has never been in it. I'm just like, was thinking about that. Like, this guy shoots a lot of threes.
Shoots a ton of threes.
And, like, they always want your superstar players in one of these. And this is, like, the lowest lift. Like, you're never going to get injured in this. So, yeah, Luka, come on, man.
A little bit surprising. Yeah, Fred has been there a couple years ago, I guess. That was the All-Star year, I guess.
Yeah, Van Vliet definitely shot once. Yeah.
What about Norm?
Norm? Okay.
Norm Powell. Get him in there. Since every Raptor has been in there, obviously Norm is just keeps doing it wherever he goes with the Clippers. He's shooting 45% from three.
What about Kawhi? Just told me he's shooting like 45% from deep this year.
He could do it.
With the robot in there.
What about Kobe White? You know, just naming the best players in the league. Yeah, right. What about Colin White? 10th in makes, 39%? Just saying. You know.
Do you think it's possible? We only got six names of the eight. I know they're supposed to like officially be announcing these on Thursday, I think, on TNT. Are they saving the final two spots for Steph Curry and Sabrina?
No, that would be cool.
Hey, just come on in.
Hey, just come on in. Jeez.
All right, final piece of news here from All-Star Weekend. Shams tweeting yesterday, Jaylen Brown is quote, seriously considering participating in the dunk contest. Jaylen Brown of the Celtics, all-star, of course. TK, excited to hear the potential that he may be in this. What do you think?
I hope he does it.
Okay.
Haven't had an active all-star or all-NBA player in the dunk contest since who?
2017 DeAndre Jordan, isn't it?
One, I think there was one more recently.
Oh!
2018.
Donovan Mitchell?
Pretty sure. No. Donovan Mitchell won it in 2018, but he was a rookie.
Yeah.
Right.
Victor Oladipo.
Oh. What year was that?
2018.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Mr. 360 himself.
Okay.
Yeah, he was not as good in his second go-around.
No.
His first go-around was pretty solid against Levine, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's true. At least when I was looking through Wikipedia earlier today.
Rookie,
but yeah, Jaylen Brown, I don't know what he's got in the dunk bag, but he's been throwing down athletic-looking dunks for his entire career. He's always been a guy we've said, oh, man, it would be so cool if he went in the dunk contest. But then he kind of got too good, it seemed like, for the dunk contest. So if he were to enter, I think that's major for the NBA to get a legitimate all-star, all-NBA guy on the first-place team in the league, a massively famous franchise as well.
Yeah.
Like, this is a big-time star getting Jaylen Brown in the dunk contest. So I hope he does it.
I agree. And listening to Shams talk about it, it sounds like Jaylen Brown has been contemplating it for a while, as in not a week ago, but
years.
Like, yeah. And even this year, it's, I think, a couple months or something on the longer side. It feels like it would be kind of like one of those years where we had Paul George in the glowing jersey, you know, that weird thing where all the lights went out.
Yeah.
And it was a weird slam dunk contest, but he was awesome. And we had, was it the Damian Lillard one? The same, I think that was the same year, and John Wall going at it.
Oh, that was we had team events. Remember that?
That was weird.
Yes.
That was really botching with the dunk contest.
The dunks were good, but it was weird going to the teams. It didn't really make sense. John Wall won it because he was good. But I just mentioned that Paul George was in it. Dame, those are big names.
Yeah, yeah.
Jaylen should be there too.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
So this is funny timing. During the day yesterday, my actual sources told me, and all I got was, there's an all-star apparently dunking in this. And I'm like, ooh. Well, I'm looking at the all-star rosters. I'm like, who the hell could be going in the dunk contest? I at first thought, Anthony Edwards, please be Anthony Edwards. Come on, get Ant in there. And then I'm like, who else could it be? And when you look at the all-star rosters, like, it really doesn't take long to be like, there's not many guys that could possibly go in it. Jaylen Brown was another one. And then I was like, I couldn't see Paolo doing it. Like, I don't think he's got those hops. Obviously, LeBron's never doing it. Like, I was like, feels like it's Ant or Jaylen. And then a few hours later, Shams, of course, he's plugged in. He says Jaylen Brown's going to be likely the one in it. And that's awesome. I'm with you, TK. I saw some Celtics beat writers tweeting yesterday, oh, this is a bad idea. Don't do it, Jaylen. What the fuck? All we do is complain that the dunk contest doesn't get a star name, won't get these all-NBA guys. And then when someone says they're seriously considering it, nah, that's bad. You shouldn't do it. That's stupid. Absolutely do it. I don't even care if he lays it up. Like, who cares, man? He's going in it, or maybe is going in it, at least seriously considering it. You have to, like, everybody dodges this. Nobody wants to do it. So kudos to him if he does go in this thing and tries to put on a show. Heaven forbid he tries to, you know, grow the game and become a bigger star. Huh, he might win. Like, what the hell?
No.
It drives me insane.
Oh, no. Pretty good point from here from Coyote Jester and the stream team. He could, and I would say should, do the D. Brown pump. And no, look, he wears the same jersey.
Oh, my God.
It says Brown 7 on the back of both of them.
Do it.
He's got to absolutely do it. And we need Anthony Edwards now, too, because now I'm excited.
Yeah, I know.
What if he did it, man?
Know,
what if he did it to
That's
Atlanta guys
heard.
In the dunk contest?
That's what I heard.
Going head-to-head against each other. And then, man, you mentioned Luka's never done the three-point contest. Never done the dunk contest either.
The dunk contest. Hey, look, that would
you
be...
You got to step up.
We would have three of four really interesting names. If Anthony Edwards, Jaylen Brown, Mac McClung obviously defending.
And Luka.
And then Luka, sure. Yes. As the fourth. Man, we got something
That'd
there.
Be major.
Oh, I like this idea. Like, now we've got this floor. Jaylen Brown, talk to whoever's like the producer of this night. Let's get the footage, you know, of D. Brown doing it on the court. We see it. And then, you know, the spotlight. Oh, my God.
That's neat. We have to do a live show. Apologies, we have to do a live show. I don't know why I'm apologizing, but during Saturday night's games.
You want to be live.
Yeah, we got to.
We're going to be up in the nosebleeds probably where they're going to put us.
Well, we'll figure it out. Yeah, how are we going to do that?
We'll figure it out. He's all terrified.
Pack the floor.
We'll figure it out.
Broadcast no dunks on the
we will.
Court.
Yeah. Now we're talking. Hey, we
people
do.
People will be watching these events wanting us to be talking about them.
You imagine all these events are going on. We're just sitting here talking about it on this floor. Ooh, that was a nice dunk. Yeah. Big play.
Love you guys.
Big play.
I know everybody wants to watch. Everybody wants to be close up. Sorry, guys. We have to work.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to do it. Okay. Sorry, JD.
That's okay, Tess.
If you can't tell, we have always and will continually always be excited about All-Star Weekend, especially because we're going again. All right, let's get into the slop scale. Yeah! Got a few rumors. We're going to weigh them. The heavier and juicier and sloppier the NBA trade rumor, the more buckets of slop you're going to assign to it. One bucket of slop to five buckets of slop. That's maximum slop. All right, first one. Yesterday, veteran NBA reporter Mark Stein reported that the Bucks and Mavericks had exploratory discussions on a trade that would swap Milwaukee's Bobby Portis Jr. and Dallas newcomer Grant Williams. However, Stein added later that Milwaukee is unwilling to swap Portis for Williams straight up, so a deal would likely have to be expanded to include other players to advance these talks. So Stein said this, found out a little more information, probably said the one-for-one isn't happening, but I want to know how sloppy this is, how many buckets you're assigning to it. Mavs and Bucks discussing a Grant Williams-Bobby Portis swap. What do you got, TK?
I've got minimal slop here. Okay. Give me a 1 out of 5. Because, yes, sure, the Dallas Mavericks want Bobby Portis. He is 4 inches taller than Grant Williams.
Tall four.
Exactly. A tall four who has won a freaking championship, who would be better in the post, better in the lane, scoring it, guys. Because if you're playing the Dallas Mavericks, you get the ball out of Luka's hands. Get the ball out of Kyrie's hands. You need somebody who is capable of either passing from the lane. It's just not as good for Grant as it is for Bobby Portis. So I get it. I do get it. I get it from the Mavs perspective. They're calling about everybody. I just saw Shams with this info here from the Mavs. And also the Pacers have inquired about Andrew Wiggins. Everybody is asking about Andrew Wiggins. It's just a conversation. The Mavs just need to get better, and they need to get bigger. So I get it, but the Bucks don't want to do that. Why would the Bucks want to get rid of Bobby Portis? They need a guard.
Right.
So yes, unless there's
more players, to this. More pieces, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I say no.
One bucket. What are you going three here, TK?
I'm a 3-bucket man, just because I like the idea of a challenge trade like this. super unlikely. Why would the Bucks do this? I think Portis has been a little bit of a roller coaster this year. He had some great games, and he's had some 2-for-10 kind of games, and he just looks a little slower out there. His rebounding has gone back a smidge. Maybe that's because he was playing a little switch style under Adrian Griffin, so he's farther from the rim. I don't know. He had an awesome finals in 2021, but in general, more so of a playoff faller, and you can convince yourself that Grant Williams is a playoff riser, 43% from three in the playoffs, and he guards wings better than Bobby Portis does, which I think is something that would definitely help out Milwaukee. The problem with Grant Williams, he shot 43% from three in October and November, and 33% since. He has been a little bit underwhelming, and that's why the Mavericks want to upgrade, because I'm with you. I think Bobby Portis is probably a better player. It's pretty close.
It's close.
Yeah, it's really, really close. But he makes sense for the Mavs because he is 4 inches taller. Yeah. And he gives them more of an offensive option, I think, than Grant Williams. And that's something that the Mavs need because Luka is carrying an absolutely massive load right now. He's been playing like 40 minutes a night, scoring 40 points a night. He's got the second highest usage rate in the league behind Embiid, which is why it's great to just get Kyrie Irving back, somebody else who can do something. So the offensive upside of Portis is probably interesting. For Dallas, but seems unlikely that this would happen.
Yeah, it is very fun to think about it because besides Luka, you know, the Exum, the Lively, the Josh Green, it's fun, but you need somebody huge. They're going to end up playing 4-on-3 when they get the ball out of Luka's hands, when the defenses get the ball out of Luka's hands, and Bobby's good at scoring inside. And yes, he has struggled this year a little bit, but he's 38% from three. It's just better than Grant Williams. He's seemingly been upset with Adrian Griffin at times. Been some reports about that. You know, we've got a little bit of angry Bobby this year. He's not, you know, punching anybody in the face as he has in the past, but he's a vet. He's too good. The Mavs just need to improve. That's what it comes down to right now.
All right, next one here. According to James Edwards III from The Athletic, The Detroit Pistons remain interested in Tobias Harris, 76ers forward who actually played in Detroit, you might remember, from 2016 to 2018. Edwards writes, quote, "While a move before the deadline for Harris wouldn't surprise me, the feeling I've gotten is that the Pistons are more likely to go after Harris in the summer using cap space." So, TK, you get us started here. How many buckets of slop are we assigning to the Pistons remaining interested in Tobias Harris as we move towards the deadline?
That's a two slopper for me. Two bucket kind of beat. The Pistons should wait until the summer. They're going to have a ton of cap space, and Tobias Harris may be the player that they could actually lure with their cap space, yeah, since he's played there before. But they also just might want to do it now because other teams could be going after Tobias Harris as well, and he could potentially help them not be the worst team of all time, which I think is probably something that Detroit wants, right? Like, they don't want to finish with 8 wins on the season. They've been trending upwards recently, but I don't know. I think that the 76ers could probably get a better player back than Bojan Bogdanović if they're going to trade Tobias Harris. So, I don't know. But the fact that the Pistons were so in on Zach LaVine before he got hurt, makes me go for more than one bucket here because it seems like they are trying to add something at the deadline for reasons.
Yeah, I vote one here because I just don't get why the 76ers would do it. Are they giving up on the season? We don't know that Embiid is out for the entire season. Tobias Harris is just a damn good player. So what are they getting back from the Pistons? And Tobias Harris is becoming a free agent. I know he has played there before, but why would they give up something here where they are playing better? They frankly are playing better. They've given a lot of good teams runs, even though they've lost to a lot of these teams. I just don't get it. They're not necessarily playing to win. Why would you give up a young player for Tobias Harris? Who, yeah, maybe you want, but
get him in cap space.
Yeah, I just don't get, unless there's somebody they want to get rid of because they do have a lot of younger players. I get that. But they've gone out of their way to go get a Marvin Bagley and try that type of thing this season, which has worked.
Okay, next one here. Final one, actually. Comes by way of Hoops Hype, who reports that the Chicago Bulls continue to have a high asking price on Alex Caruso. They want, the Bulls do, the equivalent of 2 first-round picks to consider moving the all-defensive guard. Caruso is signed for, you know, basically $10 million next season, which is considered a great value across the league, given his production. So, this report that the Bulls, Alex Caruso, will cost the equivalent of 2 first-round picks. How many buckets of slop are you guys giving this?
Alex Caruso is being called about. So, that's why I'm 2 sloppers right now.
Something about every time you guys say 2 sloppers.
Yeah, it is. This whole slop scale is just so much fun. I wonder if we can have a digital desk here. Where the slop is poured on us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's good. Some piggies eating here. Yeah.
I love it.
Okay, 2.
Yeah, apparently the Bulls are asking for a lot. There may even be more, according to some reports, than 2. But what are these first-round picks? I don't want to get all geeky, but are they protected first-round picks? Are they lottery protected? Because then it changes what they are. But people want Alex Caruso. That makes a heck of a lot of sense for a lot of teams right now looking to go into the playoffs and just say, hey, you get on the floor because I know that you are going to try your butt off and you're going to shoot those threes when they are available. So he makes a lot of sense. So, I'm slapping up as the days go on here. I'm more slop for Alex Caruso.
TK, you're also at 2 buckets. You guys are in agreement here.
Yeah, I was going to go 3 buckets, but the smart bet is that the Bulls do nothing. That's usually what they do, so 2 is a major rating for me here. There were reports as well that the Bulls were looking for an OG Anunoby-like return.
Yeah.
He brought back a huge contract for a young player in RJ Barrett, a young player that they're going to have to pay in Emmanuel quickly, and then a good second-round draft pick. It's hard to get those kind of players back for Caruso because his contract is so low.
Yes.
But that's also why he's attractive. You get him this year when he can help you in the playoffs, and then you get him next year as well, and then maybe have to pay him after that. But he's shooting 40% from 3. A really, really good player. Makes your defense better. Makes the Bulls' defense actually look like a defense. But the reason this gets any slop from me is that it feels like the Bulls are actually considering being sellers. There was DeRozan rumors as well. Andre Drummond seems most likely to go since he's coming off the bench and can be had for probably pretty cheap since he is on a good contract as well. But I can see the Bulls, if they want to be smart about things, getting Caruso in a package alongside DeRozan or alongside Vucevic, try to get off his contract if they wanted to. And then maybe they're able to return players as well. Otherwise, it's going to have to be draft picks. And Tass is right. It'll probably end up being, you know, kind of like first-round draft picks, yep, where you're getting the back half of, maybe the lottery if they're lucky. But if they're asking for two right now, we got how many hours left?
Great question. 52
hours remaining. Asking for two right now, maybe they settle for one.
Yeah.
But like I said, the smart bet is continuity.
Do you think, I mean, I know it depends on the team, but in a team trading for Caruso, maybe even getting aggressive and it's two first round picks, or maybe it settles on one and a young player that could turn into something. Do you think Caruso could be a difference maker to a team that's obviously good, if not great, to winning an actual championship? Like, is he that much of a needle mover? Like, in the lines of an Aaron Gordon or a Wiggins, as we've seen? Like, could you squint and see that for the right team?
Oh, yeah.
To take him over the top?
I think so. It's got to be a team that's already close.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But we talked about the Nuggets and how they have been wondering, is Peyton Watson going to be that guy? Is Ray Jackson going to be awesome off the bench? Is Christian Brown going to be off the bench? Alex Caruso will be awesome off the bench, no matter what. Right. And I know that's already saying a team that won a championship is going to add a player and possibly win the championship. But this guy's just damn good, and he can be Bruce Brown from last year.
There you go. That's what it is. Yeah, he's not Bruce Brown. Much Gordon or Wiggins, but he could absolutely be a Bruce Brown guy who, I mean, he plays very, very similar to Bruce Brown. He can guard, I would say, 1 through 4. Basically, he can handle the ball in a pinch and then knock down shots when he's open. He could be an awesome Bruce Brown replacement, but I don't really know what the Nuggets have on offer.
Yeah.
Probably not much.
Alex Caruso could also just be Alex Caruso from 2020 when he was with the Lakers and he won a championship. He was, you know, solid, of course.
He was
as
awesome.
A role player.
He was awesome, and I thought Laker fans were like blowing him up the way Lakers fans do.
Yeah.
The way teams always do about their own guys. And then you got Chicago, and I'm like, oh, he's the real deal.
Yeah.
This guy's awesome.
All right, so that's all the slop I got for you right now. 52 hours.
That's right.
A little bit less maybe now till we're hitting the deadline. We will be live on Thursday at around 2 p.m. Eastern on YouTube, reacting to any of the sort of last-minute deals and deals that come in after that 3 p.m. Eastern buzzer. So looking forward to that. We got to take one more break here, though, and when we come back, Tweet of the Night.
It's NBA playoffs time, and that means NBA snack time. I can't stop eating while I'm watching. So many options in my house that I gotta cut out a bit. I gotta switch it up, but I know I'm not giving up. Sunflower seeds, sure. But maybe something that's not a food for that oral fixation, perhaps? Good thought. Here's a breath of fresh air. Fume. Fume takes your habit and simply makes it better, healthier, and more enjoyable. Fume is an innovative, award-winning flavored air device. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses delicious flavors. You get it. Instead of bad, Fume is good. It's a habit you're free to enjoy and makes replacing your bad habit easy. Its taste is surprising. All natural stuff. It's fun to fidget with, and it's a good weight. The wood feels good, and it feels cool to use. Start the good habit by going to tryfume.com/dunks and getting the journey pack today. Fume is giving listeners to the show 10% off when they use our code DUNKS to help make starting the good habit that much easier.
Okay, some people call it X, but we still call it Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Trey Kirby, my man, what do you got?
Well, we call it Tweet of the Night, but this is from the weekend. We still call it Tweet of the Night. Sickos. This one comes to us from @basketballguruD on X. A group of about 20 Raptors fans traveled to OKC to watch Sunday's game, then rented out the Paycom Center to hoop after the game. This is 4 flame emojis. This is 100 flame emojis.
That's yeah, awesome.
I didn't know you could do this.
Who are these guys?
Who are these guys?
How do we not know these guys? Said they're from Toronto.
Yeah, there's a guy playing in a baseball jersey.
That looks like, I love this
awesome
move. Guy looks like Preet Bharara, drops off the ball and then sets a pick for an open
shot.
Unfortunate bad one.
I will say, for guys that are doing this, and like kudos to them, like I got love for all hoopers, like, but for flying around every year and renting out an actual NBA arena, I thought they would be a little bit better at basketball. Again, it looks like there's some OGs, there's some older guys out there, but that's pretty cool. They obviously got some money.
And there's a straight-up travel on the first play. The guy runs with the ball.
It's just,
what's up with that? Nobody called it.
The footage caught me by surprise, because you see the tweet. You read the tweet. You're like, that's baller. And then you watch the clip. You're like,
they probably didn't think the video was getting out.
Maybe. But anyway, who cares? But
maybe the other guys are good, because we just see two guys touch the ball, really.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's awesome.
This is what we've always wanted in the Olympics. Like, just normal dudes on the court, you know.
Taking on the world's best.
Yeah, just be seeing them on, you know, the OKC floor there in the, you know, under the bright lights. There's nobody in the stands, obviously, but it just makes the OKC Thunder and all the rest of the NBA that much more impressive. I mean, granted, these are old guys, but still.
I'd like to think that somebody at The Athletic is pitching the story on this right now, doing the story?
Yeah.
Like, who are these guys?
Yeah.
How long have they been doing this? How many arenas have they
gone
to?
People are saying they're doctors.
Well, okay.
I want to know.
Apparently they did it in New Orleans, too.
They ain't Dr. J.
How much is it to rent an arena?
I know. I have so many questions.
Like, yeah.
How did it start? Who came up with it? Yeah, really? Exactly. All right. Eric Green, get on it.
Is it the kind of thing like, yeah, this is going to be dumb. Remember there was that one Survivor challenge where Jeff Probst is like, you can always negotiate. You can always choose a previous reward.
Mm.
Have you always been able to rent out an NBA arena to play pickup and just people haven't been asking?
Yeah, I know. Like, is there any, does anybody have an in? Like, is one of these doctors, know somebody within the NBA or within some of these arenas? I don't know. It feels like you would have to. Like, I can't call up the Paycom Center, I don't think.
Hey.
I'm like, hey, I got a bunch of guys. You got to sign waivers, I'm sure, and all that, too.
Yeah, I will say I don't have a lot of knowledge here, but I will say there's more likely that you can call the Paycom Center than the crypto arena.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
It depends on the arena. I think, you know, everything is happening in crypto arena. Well, Paycom, I don't think you got stuff happening 365 days a year. And what was the other court they went to? Was it New Orleans?
Smoothie King, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's still some opportunity.
They've done that one, too.
But Raps fans travel.
You're saying they need the business.
Exactly.
It's the million-dollar man mentality. Maybe it's because you're wearing Macho Man right now. But, you know, everybody's got a price.
Every court.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, so it might be more to play in L.A., but...
Yeah, you just keep calling and calling and calling until you get to Ballmer or whomever. And he has a price.
Yeah, he would take some money right now to cover some costs probably for
a lot of toilets.
$2 billion
to pay for.
Yeah. That's awesome. I want to know more about these guys for sure. Hell, maybe we should get one of them on the podcast.
You guys should get in on it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Raptors fans traveling around, just like, hey, how do I get in?
Where are
this?
We going?
Yeah.
Let's play.
I mean, on one hand, yes, cool, but like my gut says, they're all friends. They probably have a weekly run.
Be a friend too.
I got enough friends. I don't need any more.
These friends go to NBA arenas and play basketball. Also, you would smoke these guys.
Well, no, come on, I don't. It's not that we're trying to look. Hey, baby steps for No Dunks. We're trying to get on the College Park Skyhawks court.
Right.
We're going to start in the G League, get that court.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
We'll film it and all that.
Yeah.
Hopefully the clips will be a little bit better. And who knows?
We'll see.
I'll just shoot from half every time. Yeah. Money on that floor. But then we'll make our way up to the NBA court. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Did they rent out Golden State when they went to the finals? Because there were so many Raptors fans in Golden State. Mm.
There were.
Yeah.
They maybe. Do. Raps fans travel very, very well.
These guys legit just travel. Watch the game. I got so many more questions.
That was a travel.
Yeah, dribble.
He literally just ran with the ball.
So they go, they watch the game, and then they got all their gear with them. How are they getting that through security? I got that question. And then, they just have access to a locker room? They change it on the floor? Yeah,
a lot of questions.
Good stuff, guys. All right, we'll call it there. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, unless a big trade happens in the next couple of hours and it deserves an emergency podcast, otherwise here at 10. And then I already said this, but on Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern, we're going to have our NBA trade deadline special leading up to the buzzer for the deadline ending and then sort of, you know, going over it because trades sort of come in a little bit later. So we'll be live, I don't know, ballpark like you know, 2 to 4, let's say, on Thursday. Are we planning on doing a Thursday morning show as well? I can't keep track of our schedule right now.
I forget.
Okay. We know we're here tomorrow, all right?
Yes, indeed.
2 TNT games on tonight, Mavs, Nets, Bucks, Suns, a couple other games. So we'll be talking about those and any other NBA news. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, I do think our plan was Thursday, have a show ready to go. But it could change.
Everything's up in the air. Yeah. Everything's up in the air when it's deadline week, guys.
Yeah, sure.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow morning, though. Brace the day, people.